Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. It's a beautiful day here in Fort Lauderdale. I'm loving this weather. It's just perfect. I wait all summer for this. Up in the north, when I used to live in Baltimore, I used to hibernate in the winter. Well, here I hibernate in the summer because it's so hot and humid, but that has broken and weather is lovely. My guest today is a dynamic and inspirational teacher, author, and psychotherapist whose life has been transformed by three near-death experiences. Sarah Deutsch, my guest, is a multimedia artist, creative arts therapist, author, and teacher who focuses on creativity as a healing force. Her journey led her into many worlds. She trekked alone in the Himalayas for several months and lived in virgin jungles of Hawaiian Islands, eating only fruit and wild vegetables. Sarah draws from doctoral study in the psychobiology and East-West psychology, years in a contemplative order, 27 years of private practice, college teaching, and multimedia explorations. And now, I would love to introduce you to my guest, Sarah Deutsch. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning. It's also beautiful here in California.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, nice and cool, at least in the morning.
That's great. So, Sarah, you have had three, not one, not two, but you have had three near-death experiences, right?
Yes, I've really only written about two of them in detail. The first was when I was a child, and I just have it's amazingly vivid for such a very long time ago, but it's nothing really verbal to write about. It was just an experience when I was dying from pneumonia at about, 5 years old. So I do, that's in there, but the two I have written about in my creative autobiography are the two, one is dying in New Delhi when I was alone in India. I'm not going to get into it at this moment, and the other one was in the ocean in Hawaii, death in the ocean. So probably those are the two I would focus on today.
Okay. Why don't you tell us about this New Delhi experience, where you were, what happened, what you experienced?
Yeah. Well, I had been traveling alone in India and Nepal for several months, especially Nepal, which was it was much easier to be in Nepal because in India, if you're a single youngish woman, you have some complications. But in Nepal, it was very fresh and new. So I'd been traveling alone, often getting up in the morning and just walking all day in the Himalayas and having all kinds of wonderful adventures. But at some point, after eating everything, after walking in sandals, practically barefooted, I ate something that gave me hepatitis. And almost overnight, I lost about 30 pounds. And I ended up needing to get to a hospital in New Delhi. And, okay, I think I'm going to read you. It's much better because I was much more into this experience when I wrote this. So I'm going to read you just little parts from the story. I think it will go better than me trying to tell it now.
Okay, that's fine. Sure.
Dying in New Delhi. Each morning, a vulture flies into my room in the hospital. A hospital so poor, it doesn't even have glass windows. The vulture lands on top of the door and waits, craning its neck to watch me. Vultures in great numbers live around the hospitals here. They help recycle the dead. Okay, I'll read a little bit more to just get you started. Okay. I am bright yellow, 103 pounds, and burning up with a temperature of 105. My thumb and forefinger close shockingly over the thickest part of my upper arm, and with a thumb joint left over. That means I could circle my entire upper arm, and a thumb joint would be, that's how it was a bone. I am so dehydrated that my skin is wrinkled like a raisin. When they feed me intravenously, it is ecstasy. So that's how I was lying in bed there for, it seemed like weeks, maybe it was a few days. I lost all sense of time. Nobody knew where I was. My ticket had expired because I wandered and forgot about the date I was supposed to come back. So here we are further in this dying stage. I try to get help. I try to ask doctors to call the American Embassy. Nobody understands. No one speaks English. They don't even understand that I can only eat fruit. And they try to feed me hard-boiled eggs. And a cat comes in through the open window and scoops up the egg every morning and disappears with it. So that's the kind of experience I was going through. And finally, I just had to give up. I decide that this is it. It's time to die. And I am so weak. I normally weigh quite a bit, but 103 is about the weight of my skeleton. So I compose myself, and I lie there and let go of everything. And I slip easily, it seems, from my body. What a relief! What joy as I leave this shrunken husk and the misery I created. What a mess I made out of a perfectly good life, so unnecessary. I begin to revel in my new freedom. I will never go back. I soar in light and freedom, but then a voice, so clear, so loud. Is it coming from someone in the room with me? Is she coming? The female voice asks. Is she coming? Is she coming to take care of the child? The child's in the car and the motor's running. Is she coming? At first, I don't even understand this. What does this have to do with me? But then I hear it again. Is she coming? Is she coming to take care of the child? And once I hear that, this time I understand that this is the choice I have to make. I either have to return to my body or I will lose it. I have to come back into my life and finish it. But how? It might be too late. Frantically, I try to get back into my body and move it, but there is no connection. I hear this inner urgent dialogue. This time, I've really gone too far. You know, if you really want to come back, you could. But I don't. But you must. But I can't. You could if you really wanted to. But I don't. But you must. And this went on. It seemed forever. This was the most violent struggle in my life. The struggle of life and death within me. I seemed to be trapped in limbo or purgatory or eternity or just a few seconds. This struggle was so beyond time. Anyway, at one point, I finally stopped struggling. I gave up. I reached up as high as I could with the arms of my soul, not my physical arms, which weren't moving. And I said, "Help me, help me," I cried. And at that moment, the last two fingers on my right hand began to tremble. I was back in my body.
Wow.
Every time I read it, I actually re-experience that.
That's, I can't even begin to relate to that. So there was no visual in this time where you were in limbo.
No, it, for me, and it's really odd because I am an artist, I'm very visual, but this experience was mainly kinesthetic. It was feeling. It was deeply, deeply beyond the kind of emotion one would feel in ordinary life. So it was all about feeling. And even the release that I experienced, yes, it was kinesthetic and also auditory because I really heard this voice. And when I was in that desperate place, even afterwards, because I had to find a way to get back to the States with no money, no ticket, and it all came together. And I would hear the voice when I needed it. It would tell me what to do. I've had experience somewhat like that, but never as when I was so desperate. That's one of the things I learned, is that there are things we don't even know we can do and ask for when we really need it. So yes, mainly this very, very powerful voice would come through
and tell and guide you in the direction of getting home?
Yeah. Well, very briefly, I don't want to get too more, you know, I've written this up, it's in great detail, but briefly, what happened was that after I came back, decided to live, I walked out of the hospital the next day. I took a sari, I soaked it in water, and I wrapped it around my head so I wouldn't faint. Nobody believed I could walk even. But I walked out of there, and I immediately went to the Indian, the travel agency, and tried to get help with my ticket that had expired. And the little man looked at it, and he said, "I'm sorry, I cannot help you. This is no good." And I said, "Well, I will just sit here and die then, because it's too hot to go outside." The voice was guiding me to say things like that. So I sat there and I closed my eyes, and because I was so far gone, I easily went into a trance. And the next thing I knew, the little man was pushing something into my hand. He said, "Here is a ticket. Now you can go." I had to do the same thing when I came to New York. I was going to be totally hung up there in the airport if I didn't find a way to get back. And it turned out that his ticket that he had or somehow maybe he thought he had really done it, but it wasn't good. So I ended up in line in New York City with no ticket, no money, no way to get back. And I heard the voice. The voice told me, he said, "This is no good. I cannot let you in. You have to get out of line." And I looked at him and I said what the voice told me. And the voice said, "Aren't there any human considerations?" And I pulled my wraparound skirt tighter and tighter, and you could see I was just a skeleton.
Oh, my God.
And so that's how I got back to California, and my mother sent me fruit.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
wow.
It is.
What a story. What a story. So then you have another one in Hawaii. What happened? What was that all about?
Yeah, well, this is quite different, and it's a total mystery. And again, I will just read a fragment. This is much shorter, but let's see, where can I start? Because when I wrote these things, I was much more connected than I am right now. Now it's like a memory. Then it was like, I'm there. Okay, so I'll just give you a brief beginning of this. I'm in Hawaii. I'm all alone on secluded trails. I've been hiking since dawn. Pale lemon guava and rosy strawberry guava are common, and I pick them as I walk, letting the sweet sour juice run down my chin. There's nobody to see me. Okay. Oh, that's just the introduction. Okay, so I eat a lot of fruit. I've discovered that mangoes are incredible. Some of them, they taste like sweet potatoes or pineapples or parsnips or bananas or peaches or carrots. Each one has an individual taste. So I have a little feast, and when I'm full, I return to the trail. It's hot and I'm tired, so hot I want to swim and rest, and just ahead is an isolated cove with quick access to the ocean. Okay, this is the part. Throwing off my backpack, I plunge into the sea. Huge waves. I'm roughly lifted, twisted, and tossed headfirst into the grinding sand. Struggling for control, I discover that even though I'm a powerful swimmer, I cannot break free of the undertow. Another colossal wave smashes my face into the sand and flips my legs backwards. Crack! An electric jolt as my back twists violently. I can't move my legs. They're paralyzed. A wave of shock passes over me. This is it. I'm going to die. I have no choice. I surrender. I give up my ragdoll body and my urgent breath to the waves, to the fish, to the tentacled and fin hungry creatures of the deep. Eat me. Dissolve me. It's over. I give up. Next, I open my eyes. I'm lying in the warm sand of the beach. I am several yards from the water, on my back, arms outflung in a cross. Am I dead? Pale rose and violet sky tones signal the beginning of sunset. Soon it will be night. I'm afraid to try to move my legs because if they're paralyzed, I will have to lie on this secluded beach until I die of starvation or an animal eats me. I lie there afraid to move until the sunset fades, early stars appear, and I know I must try. Slowly, carefully, I put tentacles of feeling down into my right leg and foot. With the most subtle movement possible, I twitch my big toe. It moves, gently. I move toes, ankle, knees, and thigh, and the other leg. Everything works. Gingerly, gratefully, I get up and walk away. How did I get from dying in the ocean to waking up on the beach? Did dolphins rescue me? Angels? Did I die and wake up on another universe layer? After this, how can I ever be sure where I am or even who or what I am after this, everything is a miracle.
No doubt. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. So obviously, these experiences must have changed your reality. How did that happen? How did they change your reality?
Well, let's see. The one thing, and again, this was not, I had a very, how to describe it. I had a very mystical childhood. So these things were not as new to me as they would to be to many people, because I had like an earlier death experience. But basically, the big things they did for me, first of all, is that it made me sense that the boundary between life and death is porous. It's there's a continuum of what you experience when you're in this ordinary 3D reality, and when you travel and experience other realities, especially like that last experience, like, I still have no idea what really, is there something that really happened? You know, it made everything so mysterious, and it didn't feel anymore like there was life and death, like black and white. It seemed like a continuum of experience that I think we all go through, but we don't sometimes verbalize what it is or know what it is. So that was one thing that changed. The boundary between life and death. Kind of like when you dream, think about this for a minute. At night, when we dream, we feel like we have a real body, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes. There are events that happen in our dream and we believe they're real. There's an environment that our mind creates that we really believe is real. There are people and animals and everything seems real until we begin to get a little lucid and we see through them. So that's
kind of
okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
So these are the kind of things that connect me to these experiences, and I've done a lot of work with my dreams, and I have this sense. Well, we all share an illusion that there is a fixed, absolute reality, that there is reality. But that's one of the things I could see through in these experiences, is how each person creates a reality. We think it's the same one, but we don't even have the same reality hour by hour ourselves. So all of this became much softer than it had seemed to be before.
Wow. So then you feel like you have possibilities, endless possibilities of how your life can go if you know that your realities can keep changing. Do you think that we consciously change our realities?
That we consciously do?
Yes.
think we can consciously. Yeah, there's so many ways. We can do this through therapy and working with our emotions. We can do this through meditation and opening to it. We can work. There's so many ways we can do this. But I think unconsciously, too, that we're changing our realities, but we are not so aware of what we're doing and how it works. We're needing to learn this more and more. That's what's happening now, is that we are awakening beyond this little 3D dream we have.
Yes, there's a huge widespread awakening among human beings right now. It's happening to so many people. So did your reality change in any other way? Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you fear death or?
No, see, that's another thing. And many people I've read a lot about other people's experiences, and they're unique. Each one, they have things in common. Like many of them do have a lot of visuals, but they're also, each one is unique. But in common for most people who have had near-death experiences, there's less fear about ending, about disappearing, about not existing, because I want it to end. Like in my experiences, not the ocean one, but the India one, I was just really sick of my life. And I wanted to end, and I realized I couldn't. And even if I have also a very strong feeling that we have multiple lives, that there's no end. Like I think of Einstein, who said, "Energy can't be created or destroyed." And we're energy. We can't be created or destroyed. We just continue and change and become more and more of the infinite being that we are. I think about, there's someone who, Buzan, Tony Buzan, had a wonderful, he looked at the number of atoms. He looked at all kinds of statistics about the universe and atoms and everything, and he said that our minds, our brains, can make more patterns than all of the atoms in the entire universe. Think about that. Our brains are wired, infinite mind. And so that's another thing that I tuned into with these experiences, that we are infinite. We have the universe within. So these experiences really free me to experience more of that.
Wow. That's fantastic. I mean, I've heard this said in other ways, but you said it so beautifully. Encouraging. It's so encouraging to all of us to know that we are infinite and we are so powerful in our own, our soul, our being is so very powerful that we are so much more than this physical body that we live in.
Right.
And we are not subject to life. We create life. We create
right.
what happens around us. Very, very,
yes.
very interesting. Very interesting.
Thank you. And one of the things that, how can we do this? How can we experience more and more of the infinite creativity that we really are? That's the question I deal with in when I work with my classes, when I work with my own creativity. How can we do this? And there are various ways that I have especially discovered, and one is to have a blind date with your infinite unknown. Don't be afraid. See, it's the fear about losing what we think is reality. It's our fear. I went through that when I was a child. I looked around and I said, "What is this?" There were dinosaurs. I just looked at the whole thing and it seemed like a fantasy to me. It seemed like a dream. So, here I'm doing two things at once. The thing I was really talking about is, how do we have a blind date with our infinite unknown? And the first part is, yes, we have to let go of the fear that what we thought was real is a beautiful vision. It's an experience that our soul is having, and it seems very real, but there's so much more. So one of the things I advocate, and I have all my students do, is learn to, I call it 5-minute magic, where you set a timer for 5 minutes And this can be done with visual means, but I like to do it with writing, where you set that timer for 5 minutes and you write without stopping as fast as you can, without criticizing, without knowing what you're supposed to be talking about. You just write. And if you could do this every day for 5 minutes, a flow from your deepest self will start coming through. You will hear many different voices. You'll hear the voice of your wounded child hurting and asking for help, and that's great. You'll hear the voice of the magical child who spontaneously creates poetry that you didn't even think you had in it. You hear your wise guide. You hear your angry self. And all these different parts of you can come out and start communicating. So this is one way you may discover just incredible visions may come through you too. But it's just a commitment to write every day for 5 minutes, doing things as quickly as you can without stopping, because that's what, when you write really fast, the critical part of your mind can't keep up. It can't keep up with that fast writing, so it allows all the deep, infinite parts of yourself and your creativity to flow. So that's one of the most powerful techniques that I would advise for people who are wanting to explore more in a very fun way, and it only takes 5 minutes a day.
That would be very, very interesting to find out all these parts of ourselves. You had said that, you have said that we go through many deaths in our lives. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I go through a lot of them. And I know that other people do, maybe not as extreme. I'm a heavy-duty Scorpio, so we're the ones who have to learn a lot about death in our lives. But everybody goes through periods where they're dying to who they thought they were, dying to the kind of work that they thought they would be doing, maybe dying to certain relationships that are not alive to them anymore. So, and I think a lot of what depression is this experience of going through these deaths. I mean, if you can accept, yes, we go through periods of dying, not physically, but in many different ways. And if we can accept and learn from this, wonderful things can come from it. Let's see, there was, in other cultures, people recognize when people are dying, and I don't mean physically dying, I mean going through life changes where they feel like they're dying. By the way, the Tibetan Book of the Dead describes all kinds of things if you're interested in this topic. But anyway, in these other cultures, the person who is dying is taken to a safe place. It could be a cave. In other cultures, it could be just a room, and people leave them alone. They're left alone to go through what they need to do in solitude, and people even bring food and leave it outside of their door so they don't have to think about everyday survival things. Mm-hmm. I was in an order when they did this to us, when they could tell we were going through something heavy. Sometimes a sickness, sometimes just an emotional death. And they would put us in the chapel in this dark, wonderful space. And every meal period, they would leave your food outside the door. And you would stay there for 3 days and 3 nights all alone, working through whatever it needed to come through so you could be born again. Or I don't want to say that in that way, but so you could begin another new life and let go of the old things that you're ready to leave.
Wow. You and I had talked about the fairy tales that you've written and illustrated, and that they express the wisdom of your death experiences. Can you tell us about that?
Thank you. Yeah, I had a wonderful, I was writing nonfiction books, and with a collaborator, a friend of mine from 30 years ago, by email, we started to write the most wonderful fairy tales. They just started coming through us, and we would take turns. Like, I would send her a sentence, and then she would add to it, and we kept doing this up and back by email. And we wrote three books like this. So one of them that comes to mind, it's called Oopa's Parallel Universe. Once upon a time, I'll just tell you a couple of paragraphs so you get the idea. Once upon a time, a human named Oopa was able to visit beings from many different realities. Oopa wasn't crazy. He just had access to parallel dimensions. When he looked into the worlds of other people, he was always disappointed. He wondered why all the people he knew seemed to be trapped in three dimensions, always thinking about cars, houses, and money, while he explored unknown dimensions where anything can happen.
I love
so
it.
Anyway,
I love it.
Yeah.
We are getting close to nearing the end, and I really want you to be able to tell my listeners how they can reach you or see what you do. Can you just take about 3 minutes and talk about that?
Yeah. I'm in the middle. I've been trying to do a website, putting everything together, but it's not there yet. So right now I have lots and lots going on all over the web. And the best way, if you really want to reach me, and I sure hope you do, I would love to. I have lots of gifts I can share with you. But anyway, the way to reach me is to use my name. And I'm glad you put it up on your website, on your radio blog site. So if you look at my name, Sarah, S-A-R-A, and the last name is Deutsch, D-E-U-T-S-C-H, and it's up on the site. And if you put anything in it, if you put Sarah Deutsch Amazon, it will take you to the page where all my books are. If you say Sarah Deutsch Art, it will take you to my art portfolio where you could also leave me feedback and get in touch with me. You can write me personal messages there. It's called Art Wanted. But if you just use my name and say Sarah Deutsch Art, so that's at this point, until I get that web page finally done, that's probably the best way to reach me, is just to use my name and anything you might be interested in,
okay.
All kinds of things on writing and classes. Okay, that's probably enough.
Do you do online classes?
I do. I have a wonderful class. It's called Telling Your Story. It's called Creative Autobiography. And the way you would reach that, it's from a place called Wise Woman University. Wise Woman University. And if you just put Sarah Deutsch, Telling Your Story, or you put Sarah Deutsch, Wise Woman University, Telling Your Story. See, it's hard to give links over the telephone. So the best way to reach me is just to use my name and anything you're interested in, and it will come up.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Well, I want to thank you for a very, very interesting show. Thank you for being my guest and telling us these fantastic stories and giving us great inspiration for living.
Thank you.
It's been great having you, Sarah.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yes, I've enjoyed it too. All right. Well, take care, and I hope we'll talk soon.
Good. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Unfortunately, our time is up for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And Randy is RANDIGFINE, randyfine.com. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my shows and my articles, so you can leave comments for me there as well. You can now speak to me privately and confidentially on the telephone about any issues that are concerning you in your life. I am a life issues counselor. For more information about my life issues counseling, go to clarity.fm/randy-g-fine. That's clarity.fm/randy-g-fine. And please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. My page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share, and I always put up my shows that are coming. And on that line of thinking, if you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get the show the recognition that it deserves. You just have to go to any show page, and there is a place where you can click on and become a show follower. And when you do that, you will find out all the shows that I have planned. I have so many more coming, and they're all fascinating. I have some very, very educated, fascinating guests coming on. And, well, all my shows are archived after broadcasting, and so you can listen to them at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Well, thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author and counselor, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine. RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be. There's a better way.